Morning. Today's daf in Bechoros is Lamed Vav. We're in Lamed Hamed Beis. We are about halfway down in the Amud, a little bit less than that. We are discussing Nemanus as it relates to a Kohen and a Mum. Kohanim, in this particular topic of Mumim, are Chashudim. They are suspects. And the suspicion is based on the following. Once they receive their Bechor, Bizman Hazeh, without a base of Mikdash, so there is nothing they can do, and they must wait until nature takes its course, until HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with his Hashkacha, decides that now is the time for the animal to get a Mum. But until that point in time, so there is nothing that the Kohen can do with its Bechor other than just basically have it around and feed it, and it's onerous. It's a responsibility. And so all we need is a blemish to happen. So when nobody's looking, so the Bechor put a Mum and the animal, and we're good. I'm sorry, the Kohen, thank you. The Kohen's going to put a Bechor, thank you. A Kohen's going to put a Mum in the Bechor, and we're good. So as a result of that, so Kohanim are Chashudim. So they're going to be suspicious. So one day they wake up, and there's an animal with a blemish on it, and hey, it just got there. I'm telling you. It just got there. So, okay. So Kohanim are Chashudim. So we need a certain amount of Nemanus in terms of a testimony that the Mum happened on its own. Now, let's be clear. In terms of actually the witnessing of the Mum itself, or the viewing of the Mum itself, so that you need a Mumcha. That we've already discussed that. It's coming up in tomorrow's daf as well. You need a Mumcha for that, right? Sometimes the Mum is so obvious that, okay, so you can have a Beis Din. And we're going to be talking those discussions in tomorrow's daf. But in the meantime, however, Really starts at the end of today's talk. But okay. Anyway, but in the meantime, however, fine. But we're not talking about the viewing of the Mum. We're talking about how did the Mum get there? Did the Mum occur naturally, or did it occur because someone actually placed the Mum on the animal? Now, you remember in yesterday's daf, we actually had a great discussion yesterday in terms of what's considered a natural Mum and what's considered something that occurred deliberately. And natural Mum does not mean that it happened by nature without any human intervention. It can happen with human intervention. You can have a guy put a Mum on the animal. You can even have somebody in self-defense kicking the animal. And that's considered a natural Mum. Fine. So, good. So, we had that discussion yesterday. But, in other words, we have to have Nemanus on the individual that the Mum occurred, naturally, as opposed to intentionally when someone put the Mum on it for no other purpose other than to matir the animal. So who's believed? Who has credibility on this issue? So generally speaking, we're suspicious of the Kohen. Now, here's where it's going to get much more sophisticated in the discussion. In the Mishnah yesterday, so we had three opinions in the Mishnah. We had the Chachamim, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, and Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir's position is the clearest of the three positions. Rabbi Meir says, as far as the Kohanim are concerned, we are suspicious of Kohanim, period. Doesn't matter if he's testifying, is about his own Bechor, about somebody else's Bechor. It does not matter. According to Rav Meir, Kohanim are simply suspected on placing a blemish on the animal. Later this morning, we're going to be asking the question. According to Rav Meir, once they have a suspicion of a Bechor, how can they judge any case? It happens to be the same sheet of Rav Meir, HaChashad al Davar Echad, Chashad l'chol Torah Kula. Once you have suspicion on one matter, it amplifies and it broadcasts to the rest of the Torah. So later, the Gemara is going to ask that question within Rav Meir. There is an answer that's coming up. So Rav Meir's position is the clearest. Rav Shimon Gamliel, it's also pretty clear. Rav Shimon Gamliel says that a Kohen can testify about somebody else's Bechor, but not his own Bechor. Good. And Misvara, it's very easy to explain. Meaning on somebody else's Bechor, so it's not his own, he's not as invested. Yes, you can talk about scheming. In other words, so today I'm going to testify about his Bechor, and tomorrow I'll testify about my Bechor. And that what the Gemara describes as a principle known as Gomlin. Reciprocity. Okay, you can have that discussion, but Rabbi Gamliel is not worried about that. Rabbi Gamliel says a Kohen can testify about somebody else's Bechor. The sheet of the Chachamim is unclear. The sheet of the Tanakam of the Mishnah made a distinction between Roi Yisrael and Roi Kohen. Roi Yisrael, according to the Tanakama, are Nemanim. They're believed. They have credibility. Roi Kohen ain't no Nemanim. And then the question was, which we dealt with yesterday, is when he said Roi Yisrael and Roi Kohanim, is he saying that the shepherds are Yisrael, as opposed to the shepherds being Kohanim? Or is he saying that the shepherds are Yisrael working for a Kohen? Or the shepherds are a Kohen working for Yisrael? So Roi Kohen, meaning are you working for a Kohen? is the Kohen a description of the employer or the employee? Okay. And that was unclear, and that was a machlokas amongst the Amoraim. And so the Gemara presented yesterday a discussion between between Rav Yochanan and Rav Elazar the Amoraim in terms of what's the correct understanding of the Shita of the Chachamim. And basically what it comes down to, without going through the entire machlokas again, is that, look, if let's say, for example, you're a Roi Yisrael and you're working for a Kohen. Okay, so, and you're out in the field and you're shepherding the animal, and lo and behold, the animal gets a blemish. Okay, and now you're going to report. Now, you're not the owner of the animal, you're the shepherd. The Kohen's the owner of the animal. Now, if you report that this blemish happened naturally, so does it benefit you? So the answer really is no, it doesn't. Because it's not your animal, it's the owner's animal. However, you are going to get a little bit of a kickback, right? Well, the Gemara described as legima. What's going to end up happening is that now the Kohen's finally going to, after all these months and maybe even years, so he's going to now be able to shecht his animal b'chor and eat it, and you don't think he's going to invite you to the meal? Meaning you're the one, you're the reason why he's now able to eat it. So you don't think you're going to get an invitation? So this is what's called legima. And I call it a kickback. I know kickback's not the best way to describe it, but okay, he's going to get something in return, just a little compensation. For that little compensation that he's going to be receiving, is that going to impair his judgment? Is that going to distort his credibility? So the Gemara pointed out, is really at the root of what the two different pshatim are in the Mishnah, within the Shita of the Chachamim. Good. With that stated now, we are continuing the Gemara where we left off yesterday. I'm going to start in the Gemara with the words Bishlama. Bishlama is about 8-9 lines down from the top of the Amud. Even less, sorry. Bishlama. Sorry. About 6-7 lines down from the top of the Amud on Lamed Hamud base. Bishlam Laman Dama Ro Yisrael Vehein Kohanim Ne'manim. So the Gemara says, if we're talking about where the shepherds are Kohanim and they have credibility, so the Gemara says, so then I understand how Rav Meir is going against the Shita of the Tanakama. Because Rav Meir is saying, let's start with the Tanakama. Tanakama is saying is that we do trust Kohanim as shepherds. And Rav Meir says, no, we don't trust them at all. Meaning even when they're not testifying about their own animals. So the Gemara says, that's fine. Elamanda Meroi Kohanim Be Yisrael Einemanim. But if the pshat that you're offering in the Mishnah is that when we're talking about Roi Kohanim, we mean that the Kohanim are the shepherds, and the Yisraelim are in fact the Yisraelim are the owners, and the Tanakama is saying we don't trust Kohanim, so then my Asra Meir Lashmin and Hain Tanakama. So that means now that Reb Meir and the Tanakama are espousing the same exact viewpoint, and there's no difference between the two, and that can't be. So the Gemara says there is a subtle difference between them, and the Gemara goes through it. Ika b'inayu, Rav Yeshua ben Kapusa'ai, the Tanya. So the Gemara quotes Gemara now quotes the following machlokas. Rav Yeshua ben Kapusa'ai omer b'chor be Kohen tzarech shnayim min ashok laha'id alav. The b'chor that belongs to the Kohen, that's in the house of the Kohen. So you need shnayim min ashok. You need two people from the market, meaning outsiders. Now, who are these outsiders? They could be anybody. They can even be Kohanim. They just have to be somebody outside the house, right? If you take a look at Rashi, Shnaim Kol Shein, Ve'afilo Kohanim, Ava Kohanim Be'beis Olo. So according to the Sheet of Rabbi Yeshua ben Kapusa'ai, you cannot have Kohanim who live in the house. And again, makes perfect sense. The Kohanim living in the house, so they're going to be beneficiaries of that Bechor. So therefore, they are not Neman, they're not credible to testify that this Mum happened naturally. Second opinion in this brisa, Rav Shimon Gamliel Amar, Afilu Beno Bito. Afilu Bito. You can have a son testifying, you can have a daughter testifying. Now, a daughter testifying, now, that's a little bit strange, right? In other words, we're talking about Nemanus, and we're talking about some form of Eidos. So a daughter testifying, the Gemara is going to pick up on that a little bit later on. Meaning, what we're going to have to say is that this is not as classic testimony goes. It is a form of just establishing a fact, and it's not the more formal testimony, and we're going to cover that later on. I'm just highlighting right now that within the Shita of Shimon Gamliel, it could be somebody in the household. It could be a son, it could be a daughter. And Rabbi Yossi Amar, Afilo Asar, Vehein B'nei Beiso, Ein Me'idan Alav. And Rabbi Yossi says it could be 10 people testifying. However, if they're members of the household, Ein Me'idan Alav, they're not allowed to testify.
What does it have to do anything? just said anybody can.
Correct. Ten is just a number. You're right. You're absolutely.
Like even 10, like, doesn't make sense. Like what?
Sometimes the language is like that.
I'm trying to drive your point, but just
right.
Say
well, the Torah uses such language. Adorai Siri, a tenth generation. Okay. I don't know how far he would go. The Gemara is going to later on in the course of today's daf extend the parameters of what kind of looser edus are we talking about. We're going to come back to that. In the meantime, however, that's it. And the Gemara has now finalized this point. Now the Gemara didn't finish a sentence, meaning the whole reason why we're introduced to this Braisa is because we're looking for a fine-tuned distinction between the Tanakhama and Rebbe Meir regarding the testimony of a Kohen. So Rashi over here finishes the sentence. I'm going to go back to the same Rashi that I started with. Rashi Divrei Maskil Sarach Shnayim in Ashuk. And Rashi writes, Tanakama Islay, it's like three lines into the Rashi. Tanakama Islay, the Rabbi Yoshua ben Kapusai. So the Tanakama does subscribe to Rabbi Yoshua. The Kama Tanakama, Roi Kohanim, Bein Be Yisrael, Bein Be Kohanim, could depreciate. Taima Ein Ne'amanim, Ava Kohanim Da'ama Ne'amanim. Meaning, according to Rabbi Yoshua ben Kapusai, the problem is not Kohanim. The problem is Kohanim in the household. But you can have outside Kohanim testifying, and that would be fine. Meaning, according to the Tanakhama, the problem with the Kohen is when he's an insider. And when we say insider, we don't just simply mean member of the household. We mean part of the institution of the house, meaning an employee. That's also a member of the household. And a shepherd is a member of the household in this regard. If he's the... Assuming he's the owner, meaning Roe Yisrael, who's working for a Kohen. There's just an issue of Legima. Maybe not. I don't know. But within the sheet of the Tanakhama, the problem is when the Kohen is part of the household. Ela Beroe de Kai Gabe. Vesavar. Ides Rebbe. Vahu Yadeni Kishitin Li Yisrael Ba'ama. Bechor. So fine. Rav Meir leis leid Rabbi Yeshua legamrei. Now Rav Meir does not hold of the svar of Rabbi Yeshua at all. They came at the next to Kohanim al bechor lo dam v'lo meid. I feel a Kohen deshuk. I feel a bechor biyad Yisrael. And according to Rav Meir, Kohanim just simply are suspected on the matter of bechor, and Kohanim cannot testify. Period. And it doesn't matter whether they're testifying about something that their own, which obviously they have a vested interest, and it does not matter even if it's something outside as somebody else owns. Because again, according to Rav Meir, the problem is a very generalized issue of their chashudim al osodavar. They are suspected on this matter, and therefore Kohanim can never testify about it. That the Gemara now is going to points out is the subtle difference between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Meir. Okay. Now with that stated, we are continuing now in the Gemara halacha. We have thrown out a lot of opinions. There were three opinions in the Mishnah. Even within those three opinions in the Mishnah, Machlokas Amarim, how to understand the first opinion. We just saw a Braisa together that espouses more positions on the matter. And so, with so many opinions out there, so who does the halacha follow? Rav Nachman Amar, Bale Me'idim Alav. I skipped. Okay, sorry. Kemana Azlahad Amar Rav Chista Amar Rav Ketina. Safik Bechor Shanola Be'Yisrael. Let's say you have a Safik Bechor being born in the house of a Jew. Now, what do we gain by the case of Safik Bechor? Rashi just simply points out, it's very simple. When it's Safik Bechor, it doesn't go to the Kohen, right? Remember the scenario we had, the twins came out. We don't know which one comes out first. Okay, anyway. So the case of Safik Bechor, so you don't give to the Kohen. Why? I'm only giving it to him because I know it was the firstborn, but if it's a Safik, I don't give it to him. However, there's an issue of Kedusha, meaning the Safik Bechor may be a Bechor, so I can't eat it until it gets a blemish. So basically, Safik Bechor just simply means now that when it develops a blemish, it's going to be eaten by the Yisrael owner. Fine. Sarach Shnayim and Ashuk Lahayid Alav. So who can testify now that this blemish comes naturally? So according to the opinion of Rav Chista, you need outsiders. Nobody in the household can testify. Not children, not shepherds. Nobody within the structure of the household can testify. So the Gemara says, who's he holding like? The Gemara says, that's easy. Come on, Rabbi Yeshua ben Kapusai. That's exactly the svara of Rabbi Yeshua ben Kapusai. That members of the household cannot testify. And again, because they're insiders. and insiders can't testify. And it's not a function of whether you're a Kohen or not a Kohen, meaning you're an insider, you can't testify. Rav Nachman Amar Balim Me'idim Alav, Dilote Mahachi. So Rav Nachman says, no, the owners can testify. Rav Nachman says, I'll tell you why this has to be. Because let's consider the following. Maisel Rav Meir Me'id Alav. So when it comes to Maiser Behema. Now, Maiser Behema is the 10th animal. Now, as far as the 10th animal is concerned, Bizman is there. What happens when you get to the 10th animal? Same situation. You wait. You wait for a blemish to come onto the animal because there's no Beis HaMikdash. You can't offer it. So you wait for a blemish. Now, when the blemish finally comes, who's going to have the credibility in order to testify that the blemish happened naturally? So it has to be the owner, meaning who else is it going to be? So it's got to be the owner. Now, Maiser Vade Mehemen. So the Gemara says, okay, the owner's going to be believed. But I'll tell you why he's extended that credibility. Remember what we said a couple days ago? And we're going to say it again today, and we're saying it again tomorrow. And that is that when it comes to Maaser Behema, a really unusual maneuver that's totally illegitimate. And that is with every animal in your pen, you could put a blemish in before they come out the gate. And now as they come out the gate, you're going to get to the 10th animal and it's blemished. Now, you're allowed to do that. You could put the blemish on before it actually goes out to the gate. And you don't know which one's 10. You'll put a blemish on all the animals, and that would be fine. It's fine. It's fine. Totally legitimate. Now, with that stated, so you have the ability to make a blemish in the animal. So certainly you're given the credibility on that topic. Good. So, Ella, Suffolk Bechor, Rav Meir, Mi Meid Alav. So the Gemara says, okay, but Suffolk Bechor, according to Rav Meir. Meaning here we're going to be a little bit stuck. Meaning by a suffik b'chor according to a mayor, so we are worried about anyone who has an interest in it is not going to be believed, is not going to be credible. And you don't have this maneuver of what we have regarding Maaser Behema. V'chite ma'achanami delaisle tekanta. So maybe you'll tell me that according to a mayor, okay, look, sometimes you paint yourself into a halachic corner. Meaning sometimes the position is going to be where, okay, there's no solution. It's obviously not optimal, but sometimes it happens. And maybe that this is one of those circumstances where the suffik b'chor, there just simply is nobody who can testify.
There is a maneuver, while the baby's in utero.
Okay, right. It's a great point. It's something seriously to consider.
Going back just a little bit about this, it can cause the problem with all the answer. For the other one, there was a good purpose, you know, something that would come to the Kohen. This one is only causing suffering to the animal without any.
Suffering to an animal, tzar bale chayim, is a consideration. Right. It's not absolute.
So it's not for the higher purpose.
It is for a purpose. It doesn't have to be a higher purpose. Tzar bale chayim, as long as there is purpose to what I'm doing right now, so then it's fine. And again, I know I'm speaking in very general terms, but the basic idea of tzar bale chayim is a consideration. But it's not the only thing to take into consideration. Over here, for the allowance of the bechor, of a Maaser Behema to be consumed and not violate the isser of eating Maaser Behema outside of the Beis HaMikdash, there are counter considerations. Vatanan, the Gemara now quotes the Mishnah. Now the Gemara says, I'm sorry. So we're right now mid-thought. According to Rav Meir says that, look, anyone who has an interest in the item cannot testify about it. So that knocks out all Kohanim regarding the Bechor. Fine. Suffolk Bechor, where the owner is a Jew. So now that knocks out everybody to testify about that. So we're now having nobody testify about the Suffolk Bechor. And you're thinking to yourself, okay, so that's the conclusion. It's odd, but that's the conclusion. The Gemara says it's not the conclusion. It's not the correct conclusion. How do I know that? Vatanan. The Gemara quotes the Mishnah. We saw the Mishnah earlier in the Masechta. Shahia Rabbi Yossi, Amar Kol Shechalifa V'yad Kohen Patur Min HaMatanos, Rabbi Meir Mechayev. We go back to our Daf Yud Chesa here in Bechoros regarding the twins that came out at the same time, or we think it came out at the same time. So Ef Shalat Samsem, Yef Shalat Samsem. Great. Then we assume Yef Shalat Samsem. Which one does the Kohen get? The better one or the inferior one? Another machlokus. One is going to be given to the Kohen, one's going to be retained by me. Does the Kohen come back to me now and get his matanos from my animal that I retain for myself? Another machlokus. Okay, good. That was a fun daf. we all can agree. When all said and done, however, one of the shitas over there in that Mishnah is none other than Rav Meir, and it's clearly talking about a case of Suffolk Bechor. And they're having a fine-tuned discussion regarding, do the matanas go to the Kohen or do the matanas not go to the Kohen? But what's super clear, however, is that the animal that's retained by you, which has the status of Safek Bechor, is going to, in fact, be consumed. So don't tell me that for Rav Meir there is no solution. I know just by having learned Yudches, Daf Yudches and Bechoros, there's got to be a solution, because it's having a fine-tuned discussion about, do I give them Matanos, do I not give them Matanos? Good. So clearly Rav Meir has solved for the problem. So it must be that we need clarification on Rav Meir Shita, meaning Rav Meir says like this. He says that Kohanim are going to be suspected over Mumim. And that's simply a function of being a Kohen. Meaning, and I'd love to give psychological insight into this. I'm going to try to. You don't have to buy into my mind reading. But in other words, when you have the Kohanim, they are entitled, which they are. Meaning, I'm not saying it in any kind of pejorative manner. But they're entitled, then they're going to be receiving the Bechor. And when it gets a blemish, they're going to be able to eat the Bechor. So for a mayor's standpoint, okay. So because of this, they are chashed. They're just simply suspected that the blemish that came on the animal did not come naturally, and it came by design. They put the blemish on the animal. They're just simply suspected. It's not true by Yisraelim. If there is a circumstance where the Yisraelim ends up with a Bechor, like Safek Bechor, for example, okay, so Yisrael got the Safek Bechor, but he does not have that overarching suspicion like the Kohanim have. So within the Shita of Rav Meir, yes, Rav Meir is a most stringent position, but only as it relates to the Kohanim, not to the non-Kohanim. Okay, Itmar. More on arriving at halachic conclusions. Rav Nachman Amar halachic Rav Shimon Gamliel halachic in fact files like Rav Shimon Gamliel says Rav Nachman. Again, Rav Shimon ben Gamliel allows for family members to testify, even the son, even the daughter. Rav Amar halachic Rav Yossi. Rav is of the position that the halacha follows in fact like Rav Yossi. Any insider cannot testify, right? Asara v'hein b'nei beso. 10 people that are members of the household cannot testify. And Rava says that's in fact how the halacha follows. Omi amar Rava hachiv amar Rava balam omdi mimano b'chutz nechna shalem v'yatza chavu me'idan alav. So the Gemara now turns to another statement that was made by Rava. Owners are with us outside. The animal went in shalem. Shalem here meaning without a blemish. And it comes out wounded. So me'idan alav, you can testify about it. Ema kol balam omdim v'lo cheshinan. So I'm sorry. Yeah. Balam omdim lo chayshinan. So the Gemara says that no, it means that all the owners were outside, meaning anyone who has a vested interest is outside. The people that were inside, who actually saw the blemish occur, were not members of the household. So the Gemara says, okay, but the blemish didn't happen on his premises. Like, isn't that suspicious? Kamash Malan. So the Gemara says, but the Chiddush is that even though it happened on his premises, as long as you don't have an insider testifying about it, it would be fine. Now the Gemara finally arrives at a conclusion after all these positions have been put out there, and not only positions amongst the Tanaim, positions amongst the Amarim as well. Finally the Gemara concludes that the Halacha falls like Rav Shimon Gamliel. V'dafka ben obito aval ishtolo. Now, Rav Shimon Gamliel is the most lenient position, which is members of the household can testify. Even a son, even a daughter can testify. Even with the most lenient position of Shimon Gamliel, so here's who cannot testify that the blemish occurred naturally as opposed to intentionally being made. First of all, the principal himself, obviously, meaning the owner. And on top of that, his wife. Now, as far as his wife, why can't his wife testify? So the Gemara here gives the svara, which we're so used to hearing. It doesn't come up as often in the Gemara as we think. But ishto kagufo. In other words, when it comes to his wife is really a partner to him. In other words, and more than just a partner, ishto kagufo, really just an extension of him. And so just like he is going to be partial towards the blemished animal, and he does not have that credibility, his wife also, same thing. So ishto kagufo dami. You could put a break over there in that Gemara, because that now ends the Gemara's discussion regarding who is able to testify over the Bechor. And so with all the positions out there, so the Gemara arrives at the conclusion that Kohanim, we don't subscribe to Rav Meir, Kohanim in general, not Chashudim. Kohanim can testify about other people's Bechor, and we do follow the position of Rav Gamliel that even members of the household can testify. The only person who is suspected is going to be the principal himself, the owner, and his wife. But other members of the household, even children, can testify. Good. The Gemara now continues. Amalei Rav Papa Labai La Rav Meir Damer Chashal Adavar Lo Danav Lo Meidav Vekam Rav Meir Chashal Lo Davar Echad Chashal Lo Chol Torah Kula Kohanim Hachinami Delo Dainei Dina. So let's put two sheets of Rav Meir together. One, the one we just learned. Kohanim are suspected about the mum of a Bechor. Two, Rav Meir says that a Chashal Lo Davar Echad Chashal Lo Chol Torah Kula. So we put these two sheetahs together, and that means that Kohanim are going to be dismissed from being a judge. It means that when we are putting together a Beis Din over here, and a Kohen walks in and says, hey, I'd like to be part of the Beis Din, so we'll say to the Kohen, if you're subscribing to these 2 points of Rav Meir, look, I'm really sorry. You're suspected about Mum and Bechor, and now we also suspect L'chol HaTorah Kula, and you can't serve as a judge. And the Gemara says that's an impossible conclusion for anyone to arrive at. And Rav Meir is not going to arrive at that conclusion. And Tosus points out, by the way, the Gemara didn't even really need to quote the Pasuk. But we have Psukim that describe Kohanim as being judges. It can't be. It's just an impossible conclusion. Something has to have been wrong with the argument that we presented. And the Gemara says, I'll tell you what was wrong. Eim Adama Rav Meir, as we now are on the top of Lamed Vav Amad Aleph, Eim Adama Rav Meir, L'chashasha, l'achzikinan mi'amar. Look, Rav Meir is not impugning the Kohanim. He is not maligning. This is not defamation of the Kohanim. We're just simply saying that when a blemish occurs to an animal that's owned by a Kohen, and he is going to be directly benefiting from that animal, all we're saying is we're suspicious. And God forbid, even the sheets of Rav Meir, this is not a question of, oh, they're chashan. They're the worst. They're not the worst. They're actually the best. But in this regard, because of the incentive that comes in their direction, so therefore we're suspicious. That's all Rav Meir is saying. And so therefore, don't invoke the rule of chashad al davar echad chashad l'chol ha-Torah kula. It's not chashad. We're not saying that they're bad. We're just simply saying that we're suspicious about this one particular area, and it's not even at the level of chashad. It's what the Gemara describes as chashash. It's just a concern. Okay, and now here we go. And we're going to now try to broaden out. We now know that when it comes to testimony, there's a certain room for maneuvering within this testimony. I'll give you another example, by the way, where we have this. We have by Eidus HaChodesh, right? When the new moon comes out there and you're seeing the new moon and you're going to the basin to testify about the witnessing of the new moon at the beginning of every month. So over here, we're not talking about a crime. We're not talking about an obligation, a monetary obligation. We're talking about Eidus HaChodesh. So over there, if you remember your Mishnayos in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, so there may be room for flexibility in terms of who can testify. Maybe, right, one of the sheets is over there in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, right? Maybe relatives can testify. Okay, fine. So here as well, we are now talking about something which in general, meaning, what's the issue? The blemish came onto the animal. We just want to know for sure that it wasn't intentionally placed, but it occurred naturally. So again, it's not classic Eidus. So how far out are we going to go in terms of establishing this fact? Eid mi pi eid, the Gemara now opens up the discussion to Eid mi pi eid, hearsay. Right? How do I know this is so? Oh, because he told me. He saw it. Okay, fine. Secondhand. So secondhand testimony. So in limited areas in halacha, it works. Would this be one of those areas? That's the Gemara's question. Rav Asi Asa Rav Ashi Share. Machlokas Amarayim. Amalei Rav Asi La Rav Ashi V'atan De Be'Menashe Ein Eid Mi Pi Eid Kasher. Ela Le'Eidus Isha. You know, there is a time where a hearsay is acceptable. Secondhand testimony is acceptable. And that's Eidus Isha. The husband goes away. The husband has not returned. His wife is now Naguna. So the Gemara, the end of Yavamos, goes and describes how it is that even if you didn't see the death of the husband, but you spoke to somebody who saw the death of the husband, that's Eid Mi Pi Eid, so that works in that circumstance. But the Gemara's point is only in that circumstance. So Tani Ella Le'edus Sheha Ishak Sheira La Bilvad. So the Gemara says no. The Gemara says the way to really understand and read that line is anything that a woman can testify hearsay is also acceptable. Meaning if a woman can testify about something, so that means to say that we don't need the formal edus. So once we've seen a relaxation of the edus, so then aid mipi aid would also work as well. Here, we just established the halacha falls like Rebbe Gamliel. In the Shita Rebbe Gamliel, who can testify about the Bechor? Even his daughter. That means that a woman can testify about this matter. If a woman can testify about this matter, so then we are looser in our allowances of who can testify, and aid mipi aid should work as well. Rav Yemer achshar aid mipi aid bebechor. A Rav Yemer, in fact, in practice, allowed aid mipi aid, the second-hand testimony, where I didn't see the mum happen, but I spoke to somebody who saw the mum happen, and I'm reporting. Okay. So, Kari Allah Meremar Yemer Shari Bukhre. Now, when Meremar hears about this leniency of Rav Yemer, so he gives him a title, not a very honorific title. He says, Yemer Shari Bukhre. You know that Yemer? That's the one who allows for the Bechor. He's exceptionally lenient as it allows for the Bechor.
Is it condoning or no?
No, he didn't like it. The Gemara, however, arrives at the conclusion that it's fine. It's allowed. Meremar didn't like it. And the Gemara felt it important to report that information. Amar Rav Yilailo hayu muchzakim bo shu Bechor uba echa v'amar shu Bechor umumu imo neman. We move on to another topic of Neman, of credibility, and this is the classic topic of a Pesha Asr who a Pesha Hitter. Right? This is the Gemara in Ksuvos, and the classic example of a Pesha Asr or a Pesha Hitter is a woman comes into town, we have no history about her, we don't know anything about her, and she offers the following information. I was married, and I also was divorced. So now, normally speaking, if we know that she was married, and we don't know of how the marriage arrived at a conclusion, so we say, okay, we need paperwork. We need to see documentation. But if what created the Isser was her own testimony, so we have the idea of a Pesha Asr, who a Pesha Hitter. Fine. The Gemara now wants to know, would this idea apply over here by Bechor? And the answer, of course, is yes. And the Gemara gives the example. Let's say, Loya Muzakim Shu Bechor, let's say the animal comes into town. Okay, animal comes into town. Meaning a guy comes into town with an animal. And now the guy's offering up all this information that we didn't know. First, the animal's a Bechor. Oh, I didn't know that. Okay, good. Now, Shu Bechor, Uba Acher, Echad V'Amr Shu Bechor, Umumo Imo. And so he's providing now for us the Isser, it's a Bechor. And he's also saying, and this blemish that's on the animal, so that blemish happened naturally. I was there. I saw it. So here now, and Rashi points out, by the way, that even if the person is saying this is a Kohen, meaning, look, we don't trust the Kohanim, meaning, again, with all the various shitas, but for sure, everybody agrees, the principal owner of the animal is a Kohen, so he does not have credibility. But through the mechanism of Apesha Asar Hu Apesha Iter, so then he'd be believed. So the Gemara says, look, thank you very much for giving us this information. We knew this already.
Well, because even if they don't believe it, we won't believe him here. It's a Bechor, so there's nothing to lose.
No, I understand that. But the real... Okay, whatever. Come to me after, and we'll talk it out a little bit more. So my kamash malan shapesha asur apeshi etu tanina haisha sham raisha si shaisa grusha ani nemenis shapesha asur apeshi etu. So the Gemara says, look, you're introducing me to the topic of apesha asur apeshi etu. It's in the Gemara in Ksuvos. Everybody knows it, and you're just simply applying it over here. Yeshir koach. That's great, but we would have figured it out. So now, ma'u detem asum hudi bai lo amra ava hacha de lo sagi de lo amra de kashim bechutz lo achil ema lo hape sha'asar hu. So kamash malan. So the Gemara says, well, I can make a very easy distinction. A woman comes in from outside, we know nothing about her. So at this point in time, she really could have kept her mouth quiet. And she didn't have to say anything. And now she's the one who offers us the information that she was married and now she got a divorce. And okay, fine, hape sha'asar hape sha'asar. But over here, for a moment, again, our Kohen now is bringing in the Bechor. Let's say, in fact, it really is a Bechor. Let's say it really is a Bechor. Would he keep his mouth quiet? The Gemara's assumption is, no, he wouldn't. Now, why wouldn't he keep his mouth quiet if it really was a Bechor? So Rashi over here explains, because think of the ramifications of if this animal is a Bechor. If the animal is a Bechor, and it's not a Bamom, So what he's shechting now is a karban outside the Beis HaMikdash. This is called Shchutei Chutz. It's an Isser Kares. So the Gemara's assumption is that if it really was a Bechor, this Kohen would not have been quiet. Mm-hmm. So we say a Pesha Asar Pesha Yeter is based on the fact that he would have kept his mouth, he could have kept his mouth shut. Over here, the Gemara says, I really don't think he would have. Now, what's the option? The option is, well, if I'm not going to keep my mouth shut, but here's what I'll do. I'll put a blemish in the animal. Now, putting a blemish in the animal is wrong. But there's wrong and then there's wrong. Eating a carbon outside the base of Mikdash, that's an Isser Kares. Putting a blemish on the animal, says Rashi, that's a lav in the Torah. So for that, then he's ready to absorb. Then he's ready to accept in order to eat it. So the Gemara says, so I don't think over here you could have applied the rule of a Pesha Asar Pesha Yeter. Okay, fine. So the Gemara says, okay, really? So you're invoking the rule of Pesha Asar or Pesha Yeter. Let's consider now the following circumstance. The Gemara here quotes the following scenario. We saw this back in Bava Metzia. We also saw this in Ksuvos as well. There was a person who rented out, a person renting out his donkey to his friend. And now, in the rental, so there are instructions of usage, right? In other words, okay, when you rent the car, so you read, no one's reading anything. You're signing, right, all the rules of here's what you can do and here's what you cannot do. And obviously, if you're in violation of any of these rules, so that's negligence on your part, and that's called liability. So here, same story. The guy rented out the donkey, and he was given the following rules. Vamerle lo tezo ba'orcha denar pekodi ikamaya. He says, look, when you're running the donkey, when you're driving the donkey, don't go down Narpa Pekod. Those roads are slippery. It has water on it all the time. It's gonna damage. And I'm telling you, as part of the rental agreement, don't go down that road. And Zilba Orcha de Narash, the Lake Amaya. So you're gonna go down the road of Narash. There's no water over there. Good. Rental agreement signed. Now Azilba Orcha de Narash Pekod and Mischamra. So the renter did exactly what he was not supposed to do. He went down Narpa Pekod. And the animal died as it was going down. And now what he's going to try to argue is it was an onus. Mm-hmm. Meaning it was not because of the liquid and the slick roads, but he's going to argue that it was an onus. Now, v'asav amalei b'orcha danar pekod azlei. Now, give the guy points for honesty. He comes back to the owner of the animal and he says, look, I went down nar pekod like you told me not to. Okay? Okay? So good. Give him points for honesty. However, omi omai lo have. But I'm telling you that there was no water there. Meaning, the reason why he told me not to go down there is because of the water. There was no water over there. The animal slipped and fell on its own. It was an ones, and there was no water. Okay, good. So we're good, right? So the Amar Rava Mala Lashakri by Amar Baorcha de Narish Azlei. So Rava over there says, okay, look, he didn't. The man could have just simply kept his mouth shut, and he just could have just simply assumed that the owner thought that he didn't go down Narpa Code, and he could have just left the owner in his ignorance. So, and he volunteered the information, and so and basically what Rav is arguing is what I argued. Give the guy points for honesty. So, the Amar Abaye Malu Lashakar B'Makom Edim Lo Amrinan. So, and Abaye dismisses that argument in that case. And Abaye says, no. Once he raises his hand up in the air and says, I went down the road in Narpa Kod, at that point in time, now he wants to argue there was no water. Now, the Gemara says that you're going against Edom. Rashi says, Edom over here, there's no people testifying. Nobody saw him. It's his testimony, and only his testimony. But Rashi says, Edom over here comes in the form of Anan Sahadeh. There's always water in Narpa Kod. The fact that he's arguing that there was no water, that is unbelievably unusual and unlikely. And I know he was being honest about something he didn't need to be honest about, but the idea that he's arguing that there was no water in Narpa Kod, that's so unlikely, it goes against what in halacha we refer to as anan sahadi. We just simply, we know that there was water in Narpa Kod. So Abaye says that even though he has some credibility for extending, for offering honest information, but at the very same time, it goes against what we basically know. And that was water in Narpa Kod. So, we are trying to say it's a migu, and Abaye says, yeah, that's very nice. It's basically migu b'makom edim. The facts of slick roads in Narpa Kod is too strong. It's anan sahadeh. Good. So hachi hasha, the Gemara says, okay. Now it's true that in that case over there you're going against Adas, but over here hachi hasha hasam vade ikamaya. Now in the case of Narpa Kod, there's water there. We know there's water there. But Hasam, the Ikamaya Hasam. U the Ishte be Momachashahu. Uvamacham Chashasha Amina Mali Lashaka. And again, we're going to go back to a point that we made earlier. When there's a blemish in the animal, so all we have now is a concern, a chashash. We don't know how the blemish got there. And there really are two legitimate ways of how it could have gotten there. It could have gotten there naturally, or it could have gotten there by design and by intention. And so over here, once you have the migu, once you have the pesha asar hu pesha hitter, so that is certainly enough to go against the chashash. Again, it goes back to the idea of the blemish put on by the kohen. We're not saying it happened. We're just simply saying we're concerned. That's all. Yasav Ravina v'kamer lahashmaita below gavra. So Ravina says this over without giving attribution. Amalei Rabbi Zutta l'Ravina, Amishmei de Rabbi Eli Masnisinla. We learned it in the name of Rabbi Eli, which, if you look at the beginning of the sugya, that's how we got it, from Rabbi Eli. Rabbi Tzadok Havalei Bukhra, Ramalei Sa'arei Besalei. Okay, here we go. One of the more famous stories as it relates to Bukhoros. Now, you probably, you've heard of this incident before, if you learned Brachos, or even Rosh Hashanah for that matter, but this is it. This is the actual episode. And Daf Lamed Vav in Bechoros. Rabbi Tzadok had a Bechor. Ramalei Sa'arei Besalei. Now, as far as the feed is concerned, so it was barley and it was put in a basket. Besalei Nasrei Kaila Aruva Arva Klupa. And as far as the basket was concerned, so it was made up of willows. And Bahadi Deka'achal Ivza Sif Saseh. And now while the animal is putting its head right into the feed, and the basket had a lot of sharp edges to it, so this animal, which was a bechor, split its lip on the basket. Also, coming to Rav Yeshua, Amar Lei Klum Chilakna Ben Chaver LaAmaretz. Now, the Rabbi Tzadok was a kohen, and so this was a bechor, and he and Rabbi Tzadok now is saying, "Look, I know the problem. It's my animal. I'm telling you, it happened naturally. I did not, by design, put the blemish on the animal, and I know I don't have credibility." But Rabbi Tzadok says, can we do the following? Can we say that, look, for the general masses, they don't have credibility. But I'm not part of the general masses. I'm a Talmud Chacham. Can we make that distinction? That was his question to Rabbi Yoshua. I'm a Rabbi Yoshua Hain. So Rabbi Yoshua says, you know what? I hear the argument. Let's make that distinction. So Asala Kamadirim and Gamliel. Now, here, the problems come about when you look for a second opinion. Now, I don't really mean that as general as I'm saying, and it's obviously not that simple. But he did seek a second opinion after he received an opinion by Rabbi Yoshua. And I don't know why. I'd love to give you a good shot in terms of why it is that he seeks a second opinion, especially, by the way, when you consider that the first answer that he got was a good answer. It's the answer he wanted to hear. And so, okay, so I don't know why he seeked a second opinion, but he did. So asla kamadir min gamla amalu khilaknu min khavala I'm sorry klum khilaknu right bein khavala amaret. So can we make any kind of distinction? So amar le rabbi gamla lo rabbi gamla says no, we don't make a distinction. If you're a kohen and you have a bechor and the animal and the animal got blemished and you can't testify, and I don't care if you're an amaret, I don't care if you're a talmud chacham, you can't testify, period. So says rabbi gamla. So amar le vahar rabbi yeshua amar li hain. So now, ooh. Rabbi Tzadok reports to Rabbi Gamliel, well, you know, I asked this question to Rabbi Yeshua, and he says that he could see a difference. Okay. Amar lo hamtenachi alu ba'le trisal beis hamedrash. So Rabbi Gamliel says, well, let's wait. We'll wait till the opening bell of the beis hamedrash. We'll have the ba'le trisal come in. Ba'le trisal is a reference to the Talmidei Chachamim. They're holding the shields. They're fighting the Chamta Shel Torah. And they're going to come in, and we're going to discuss this matter. And Rabbi Yeshua is also going to be there as well. So the first question that was opened up in the base medrash that morning is that in terms of the namanus of a kohen on his bechor when it gets a blemish, are we going to make a distinction between an amaretz and a chaver? So Amalei Rav Yeshua laughs. So Rav Yeshua says, nope, there's no difference that we should make. Now this is the same Rav Yeshua who just earlier said he did see a difference, but now in public. So he's going on record saying there's no difference. Amarle Rabbi Gamliel, v'alo mishmecha amru li hein. So Rabbi Gamliel says to Rabbi Yeshua, that's so curious because I know that you said something else previously. And you said that you could see a difference, and now in the base measure you're saying you cannot see a difference. And why are you changing your mind right now? What's happening? So Yeshua amod avraglecha v'ya'idu bach. So Rabbi Yeshua, so I need you to stand up and I need you to come totally clean. Did you or did you not say? I know. I feel like. Did you or did you not say that you saw a difference between a Talmud Chacham and an Amar? It's regarding a Kohen's credibility regarding Mumim on a Bechor. Amad Rabbi Yeshua Avar Glava Amar. Now Rabbi Yeshua stands up and says the following. It's a powerful declaration. Look. If right now the person who reported what I said, if he was dead and I was alive, so at least I could deny it. Now, again, I know you're going to ask me. I know you are. Well, how he's even suggesting that he's ready to deny it. In other words, these are people who are giants. They're giants. And so I think it's a melitza. I think it's just an expression. Not for a moment do I believe that he was ready to deny it. But Akshav Shani Chai V'Uchai, Hei Chai Yachol Lahachish Asachai. But he's alive and I'm alive and so there's nothing to deny, meaning guilty as charged. Originally I said that I could see a difference and now I don't. V'haya Rabbi Gamliel Omeid V'Doresh Rabbi Yeshua Omeid Araglav. Now Rabbi Gamliel went on with the shear, and he did not allow Rabbi Yeshua to sit down. Asherinenu Kol Am V'Amr L'Chutz V'Samaturgman Amod V'Amad. And the people realize that Rabbi Yeshua right now is being insulted. His kavod is right now being assaulted. And so the people finally turned to Chutzpah Samaturgaman and said to Chutzpah Samaturgaman, okay, enough. Chutzpah Samaturgaman was the one who took the shear and broadcast it to the masses. He was a human microphone. You remember Chutzpah Samaturgaman at the end of Chulin. It was literally the last thing we learned back in Masechet Chulin regarding Acher, who went off the derech. What did he see that took him off the derech? And so the Gemara has a couple of positions in terms of what he saw. One of them was Lashon Hashel Chutz Matzmaturgaman. He was the Asara Haruge Malchus. Okay. In the meantime, however, so they told him to stop, and he stopped. And now mark this down as one of the episodes between Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Gamliel. Now you know the other two. The other one was Rosh Hashanah regarding Yom Kippur. The other one was in Brachos regarding whether Mariv was Rishus or whether it was a Chova. And so now this is it. This fills in the rest of the story of the totality of the issues and the bad blood that existed between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Gamliel. Eventually, I know you know this, but I just, you know, for reminder purposes, eventually Rabbi Gamliel was deposed from his position. Rabbi Gamliel was removed from the Nasi. They looked for the replacement. Had a very difficult time finding the replacement. Rabbi Akiva was a candidate, but he was rejected. And other people as well. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who was 18 years of age at the time, finally took the mantle of being it when Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah went home. Right, my favorite detail in the story. When Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah went home and asked his wife, what do you think? She said, it's not a good idea, don't do it. Anyway, against his wife's advice, he went and he took the position. And finally, the council reconsidered. You know what? We were too harsh with Rabbi Gamliel. We should not have deposed him. We're going to reinstitute him. But Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is now in charge. What do we do? And they made some sort of a partnership of shared responsibility of the Beis Medrash. Shabbos Shalmi, all this is found in the Gemara Brachos.
Why don't we you should initially said that?
Let's talk after. I got. Okay, anyway. Tosfos says it is. Tosfos says it's the same.
How could you historically fill it in?
Right, look at the last Tosfos.
Yeah, but if he died before
Chutzpah
Rameyer died, Rameyer was 3 generations earlier.
We can discuss after. Okay. Neman a Kohen Lama har Eisi Bechor Zeh Uba Momho. A Kohen can say the following. I showed this to the following Chacham, and he told me that it was a Mom. And that's good. And he's given that credibility. If you look at Rashi in the Mishnah, Rashi writes, "Ha'reisi b'chor zeh lechacham va'amar li shemum kavuahu v'shochto v'avashi elo edim shelo hitilo." Okay, again, let's separate our issues because I this part is a little bit confusing, but I really do see this as two separate issues. One issue is this a legitimate blemish or not? A second issue is, how did it get there? On that second issue, that's what we've been discussing for the last couple of days. That's the Ne'emanus issue, that's a credibility issue, because we're suspected, we're concerned about the fact that the Kohanim, with the strong incentive of, I'm going to be able to finally eat the animal, is going to put the blemish on himself. But in terms of whether or not this blemish is kavua or over, is it a permanent one or is it one that's going to pass? And you need an expert position, so the Kohen can say, I went to the expert and he told me it was good, and on that there's no challenge to his credibility. It's only on the second issue of how did the mum get there. Truth of the matter is, I should have reversed the orders. The first issue, how did the mum get there? But once it's there, you go to a mumcha, and the Kohen believes when he says, I went to the mumcha. And he said it was a mum kavua. I'm Rav Yehuda Merav, Ne'eman HaKohen Lomar B'chor Zeh Nas on LeYisrael B'mumo. Now Rav Yehuda Merav goes a little bit further. He says that the Kohen could say that this B'chor was given to me with its blemish. My time will call Milsa David Le'glulei L'mashak Rebbe Inshi. Because the argument goes like this. Excuse me. He's identifying who he got it from. So now, this is a testimony, but it's, and again, we know the Kohanim are suspected. But he's actually naming who he got it from. So once he's naming who he got it from, so this is verifiable. Once you put yourself out there giving information that is verifiable, so then this is what's called in halacha, milsa de avidi li glui. So a person's not going to lie. So Ravashi says, isn't that exactly the point that we just learned in our very short Mishnah? Meaning when he says that he went to a Chacham, and the Chacham said, the Mum is a Mum Kavua, and we're believing the Kohen, why are we believing the Kohen? Isn't it predicated on the fact that he told us which Chacham we went to? It therefore becomes verifiable, and therefore we believe him. So my time, Lamishum Mishum Darmin called Milsa David Lugul and Mishakra Beyinshe. So Hasum Hu Dekashim Bechus Lawachil Avahacha Kevin Dechashidi Chashidi. So the Gemara says, not necessarily. Meaning, if it's a Mum Kavua versus a Mum Over, what's at stake? What's at stake is an Isser Karis, like we said earlier this morning. Mm-hmm. Because if it's not a Mum Kavua, so that means it's still a Tamim animal. It's a Mum Over, which means it's going to pass. And it's a tamim animal. And now if he allows himself to eat it, they were talking about an Isser Kares. The Kohen's not going to play around with that. But whether the blemish happens naturally or deliberately, that's something that the Kohen may in fact play around with. So Meiser Rav Shizbi, Ha'omer, Lemisha Ein Neman Ala Meiser, Kachli Mimishu Neman, O Mimishu Hu Meiser Eino Neman, Amai Neman Kol Milsa David Lugulul Meshach Rebbe Inshe. So the Gemara says, let's say somebody who has not have credibility on Meiser, go and get from me, from someone who is credible, so he's going to, that would be okay, and again, because it's verifiable. So Shani Hassam, the Gemara says, in the Israel Ishtamute. So the Gemara says, yeah, but over there, he can easily get out of it. If you can just simply fabricate some sort of story and make up something in terms of why it is that you didn't take off Meiser. So there, even though it's verifiable, but if you could simply wiggle your way out of it, so that would be okay. Meaning, you're not going to be offered that kind of credibility. So Seifa Vadim Esayile, the Gemara says, okay, Me'ish Poni Hareze Ne'eman. If I'm sending somebody who himself is not Ne'eman on Meiser, but I'm sending him to somebody specific, and I identify who I need you to buy it from, and then he goes to that person, he comes back, and I'm just, in other words, and he says, yeah, I bought it from that person. But once we have identified now who I can turn to, I have an address of who I can ask. So under those circumstances, we're going to believe him. Why? And again, milsa da avidi li gluye, because now it's totally verifiable. So, kevan di islei tovea mirsas. I'm sorry. Hasam kevan di islei tovea mirsas. So Gemara says, not necessarily. Meaning, maybe the argument over there is not based on the principle of Milsa David Ligluye. Maybe it's built on the following principle. And that is, people don't like being sued. And over here, if I'm sending him to a particular person, and he opts to go to somebody else, it's not because Milsa David Ligluye. It's because he knows that if he goes and gets it from somebody else, and then I go back to him and I said, did you do what I asked you to do? And he says, well, no. So he knows that I'm going to demand the money back from him. So that could be the issue, and the issue is not Milsa David Lugluye. So basically, we have the principle. The Gemara just wanted to try to bring a proof from another source to this idea. I'm Rav Yirmiyahu Abba Manale Le Yehudaha. Anam begidol kavate begidol kave bedidei. Now, Gidol over here could be the name of a Talmid Chacham. Not perfectly clear, but anyway, but the point is that I've arrived also at the conclusion. V'achi amar lei, nema Yisrael amar b'chor zenasati l'kohen b'mumo, Yisrael. So, a Jew is believed to say that I gave this b'chor to a kohen with its mum. So, shita. So the Gemara says, l'tzarech b'katan v'higdil. So the Gemara says, well, maybe it's not so obvious. Maybe we're talking about a scenario where the animal, it's a couple years later. Right? Katan v'higdil is talking about the animal. Right? And it's a couple years later, meaning that the Yisrael owner, the original Yisrael owner of the animal who gave it to the Kohen, says, yeah, that was the animal that I gave it, but meanwhile, it's now grown some.
Why are you not worried about the legima here?
Okay.
He had it like 2 daps ago.
Okay, good. Fine. So, now the argument you can make is, does he really recognize the animal as the animal now is much later developed and much bigger than it was originally? And in general, you know I say this all the time. I don't even understand how people recognize any animal.
Right.
Okay, but I'm not on the farm. I don't understand how you know you can make any kind of identification of an animal. But again, that just could be me not being a farmer. Besura master kalishna basra bepumbadisa kalishna kama. Vehilchasa afila kalishna kama. So the Gemara says now in terms of how far we're going to believe, so we're going to even believe where the comes from the Kohen's perspective, where the Kohen says, I bought it from that Yisrael, and I bought it with that blemish, and the Gemara says, and we're going to be lenient like that position. Rafram bepumbadisa havale bukhra viavale la Kohen below mama. So Rafram out in Pumbadisa had a bechor. He gave it to a Kohen. He gave it to him not blemished. Also shalde be mama. And he put a blemish in the animal. Right, the Kohen put a blemish in the animal. Yumachad chalsh beinei aisa lekame. Now at one point in time, so he was really weak in his eyesight. But nevertheless, they brought the animal to him. Amar le bechor zenasin li Yisrael bemumo. Now here's what the Kohen said. Oh, this animal, I bought it already pre-blemished. It was a pre-blemished animal that I bought from him. And he pointed to Raphram. Now, it happened to be at that point in time that Raphram had a difficult time seeing. But Raphram realized that right now his sight was really important. So what did he do? He squinted. So, arfesine le'ene, chazi b'shikre. And so, to the best of his ability, he squinted and he looked and he saw, oh, wait 1 second. I know that guy. I know that Cohen. And I know that animal. Oh, and I did not give that. It was not pre-blemished. I didn't give that animal that was already blemished. So Amar Le Lav Anadi Avdita Lach VeAfilu Hachi. Now, I'm sorry. So Lav Anadi Avdita Lach. So he says, look, you're telling me that I gave it to you blemished. That wasn't me. Okay, I'm not the one who gave it to you blemished. So, right, as far as I'm concerned, you could be telling the truth, but certainly it wasn't me who gave you that animal. So you're basically not telling the truth. Okay, what comes out now is as follows. We have now had a discussion in the last little bit of Gemara in terms of whether or not a Kohen is credible to say that he got it from that Yisrael and he got it already blemished. And we just have now an anecdote in which a Kohen put a blemish in the animal and blatantly lied about having bought it from a particular person. And he was brazen enough to lie about it.
To the person that he bought it from.
Correct. To the person he bought it from. And so the Gemara says, okay, you know what? It's a terrible story. But when all said and done, it's an anecdote. So va'afilu achi lo chashle lemilsa. Hai hu dechatzif kolam lo chatzifa. So the Gemara says it really is an anecdote. It's an anecdote. Okay, so fine. So we found a Kohen with exceptional chutzpah. Okay, good. But that's the exception. The rule is that Kohanim don't have that much chutzpah. So the Gemara finally concludes that a Kohen is in fact believed when he says that he bought it from that particular person. And again, based on the principle of milsa da avida legluye, it's something which is verifiable.